Chapter 35. With the palm of his hand on his forehead, Nath shook his head. There were more floating rocks nearby. But where would he go? No matter where he went, the skeletons would follow. And they clearly wouldn't stop until he vacated the city. And the dragons, they were probably just the guardians of the Jaxite. If he didn't take it, they'd leave him alone. But he had to take it. Dangling from the steps, the chain of skeletons kept swinging back and forth, the end getting closer and closer to the rock he stood on. Two skeletons swung at the bottom of the chain with their arms stretched out like branches. They swooped backward under the stairs and forward underneath his rock. The undead chain stopped when their bony hands locked onto the sides of the rock. A bridge was formed. Skeletons started to cross. Nath whipped out Fang and chopped the fingers away. The bridge twisted and tossed. The skeletons plummeted through the air. Then it started all over again. Skeleton climbed down skeleton, and the chain resumed its full form.
Stubborn as dwarfs as well.
Searching for another rock, something caught his eye. The staircase continued to run beneath the city, inverted and accompanied by a solid iron railing.
I'll be. I knew there'd have to be something.
He could almost jump and reach it, but the skeletons were in the way, swinging like a rattling trapeze in the air. He wished he had Akron and some of those special arrows. They'd make a fine hand right now. Back and forth they swung. Nath snapped his fingers.
Yeah, this might work.
The next time the skeleton swung forth with outstretched arms, Nath snatched them by the wrist, hoisted them up, jumped off the rock, and swung himself underneath the staircase and rail. The skeletons bit at him, but the chain held. Underneath the rock they swung, and he grabbed hold of an iron rail with one hand and jerked his other arm free from the skeletons. Away they swung. Without hesitation, Nath worked himself down the railing hand over hand, following the steps. Glancing back, the skeletons had swung to a stop.
Let them figure this out.
Toes dangling over the river, he shimmied down the rail. The staircase led into a cavern, and then the warm blue-green glow of the Jaxite was everywhere. The stairs kept going, winding and winding, with no up or down.
What madness is this?
Nath reached over to the rail on the other side and hung suspended from both of them. His weight came from torso to toe, bearing down on his head. He brought his toes to the stairs with ease. He let go of one rail, then the other. He stood on the stairs upside down, but not falling anywhere.
I hope those skeletons never figure this out.
Inverted, he continued along the stairs. Jaxite was everywhere. A world of it. And nothing else. Beautiful. Magnificent. Living. With mystic radiance. Its colors were of many gemstones in one. It reminded him of Dragon Home. The stairs came to a stop on a large landing tiled in dark blue marble. A stone archway, 12 feet high, gaped open like a dragon's maw. Something lived, moved, breathed, and worked in there. Nath got Fang ready and strode straight through the archway. Little hairy bearded men were hard at work. Glowing chisels and hammers were in their skilled hands. But they weren't dwarfs.
Gads. Gnomes.
Shorter and leaner than dwarfs. The gnomes hammered and chiseled away. 10 of them was all Nath could count, wearing long working smocks and leather aprons. Their beards were neatly trimmed to a point in most cases. A few didn't have beards at all. The best way to tell a dwarf from a gnome, if one didn't know better, was that gnomes smiled. Dwarfs didn't.
That's a good thing Brenoir isn't here.
Nath remained still. The gnomes continued working on chunks of jacksite. Pieces, large and small, were scattered all over the cavern floor. With much of the mystic light of the jacksite gone, a shirtless gnome with a bald head and a leather apron held a polished piece of jacksite in front of his gray eyes and smiled. Polishing it with a cloth, he said something to the others in gnomish. They crowded around the man and stared with wonder. Their comments were excited and incredulous. They passed the glowing stone around.
"That'll do. I just need a couple more, and some questions answered as well."
Nath made a quick glance around the room and saw nothing suspicious.
"I killed dozens of skeletons. A few gnomes shouldn't be a problem."
Fang secured, he strolled over and looked down at the circle of gnomes. He noticed a strange blue hue to their skin.
"Odd."
With Nath towering over them, the gnomes continued talking, heads down, lips moving with excitement, as if a newborn baby had arrived. They went on and on in gnomish gibberish. Not a single one made a glance up at him.
"Ahem,"
Nath said, crossing his arms over his chest. Not a single chin turned up his way. These gnomes were just as engrossed in their work as dwarven builders got. Once they started, they didn't stop, often to the point of death. Nath recollected a time when dwarfs were building a bridge and were under attack. Volley after volley of arrows came, but the dwarfs weren't any more distracted by them than they would be by a mosquito. They worked, wounded, dying, even falling to their deaths. Nath could still see one hammering away with several arrows in him until the blood loss let him fall to his death. Nath cleared his throat again. Same result. He reached over them and snatched the vibrant stone from one of their hands. Blinking, they all murmured back and forth at one another and started to shove and push each other. Nath understood bits of it.
"Where did it go?
Who took it?
I didn't get to see it."
Nath growled in his throat and spoke his best gnomish in an unfriendly tone.
"Excuse me,"
he said, dangling the stone over their faces. One by one, their heads turned up toward him. All of their looks were puzzled.
"Who made him?"
one said, scratching the hairs on his head. The circle of gnomes encircled him.
"He's so lifelike, and my,"
said another gnome with bright white teeth.
"These scales are marvelous craftsmanship."
They started poking and prodding. That was another thing about gnomes, their inquisitive and obnoxious nature. They treated every living creature like a specimen for their amusement.
"And his eyes are perfectly aligned in his head. And rivers of gold flow in them. Let me fetch my chisel. I'll have a closer look at them."
His lips curling up in a snarl, Nath hoisted the last one by the collar and shook him like a rug.
"I'm no creation. I'm Nath Dragon. No more musings. You've been warned."
"That's not possible,"
the gnome said, stretching out its arms and feeling Nath's face.
"No man can invade this cavern." "My, you really are real."
It shook its head and looked down at the tall, bald one with knotty arms.
What do you think, Snargle?"
"Yes,"
Nath said, looking at the gnome he presumed to be the leader. He dropped the other gnome to its feet.
What do you think, Snargle?"
Pecking at his teeth, the lead gnome didn't say a thing. Then it broke out speaking in common, but so fast that a normal man might not have understood.
"I think he may have gotten in here, but you won't get out. How did you make it? But die you will. Still, I just know who you are and why you are here. We never have any visitors here. Nice to have some company, even though they already be dead ones. The first 20-some years we'll talk, dine, and chisel your grave. The lurker comes soon to suck the marrow from your bones."
Snargle spoke fast, but not too fast for Nath. Still, the gnome's last words crawled through his veins like mud.
Excuse me, but what's going to suck the marrow from my bones?